You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW-FM 91.7 in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden. Tonight on Your Legal Rights, we discuss debtors' rights, consumer bankruptcy, what to do with those phone calls. With me on the phone tonight is Leon Bayer, certified bankruptcy law specialist, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization, State Bar of California, from Los Angeles, California. Leon, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me again. I love doing this.
And as always, you can call, speak to me, speak to my guest regarding any question related to the subject. In this case, that would be debtors' rights or collections or even consumer bankruptcy. You're not limited to the exact point we may be in the conversation. If you have a question for my guest, the phone number here in the studio is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of the local dialing area, that's 866-798-8255. Again, 866-798-8255. We carry the freight, so please call us toll-free, anything regarding the subject at hand. And Leon, welcome.
Thank you again.
You know, tonight I really, one of the things I wanted to talk about, I don't think we've discussed before, some of these fraudulent debt collections. What experience are you having lately hearing about some of these phone calls, these automated collection calls, or even when they're not automated, with people calling up collecting debts you didn't know you had?
Yeah, well, I get a lot of phone calls from people who need to talk to a lawyer because they're scared to death about phone calls that they've received threatening to put them into jail, demanding immediate payment of an old debt that the person didn't even think they ever owed.
My favorite line that comes out on some of these calls is when they tell me that the magistrate will consider it a failure to appear if you don't call me back.
Yeah. People tell me they've been threatened with jail. You've got to pay right now. And when you ask them, well, just who exactly are you? What's your address? Send me verification of the debt. They get real indignant and they say, I don't have to show you anything. You've got to pay up right now or it's curtains for you. These are fraudulent schemes. And what they do is there's criminal gangs that just dial people randomly. Usually it's random, sometimes with a little bit of research behind it. But they call you up and pretend to know things about you, and most of it's just coincidental. But they tell you you owe money on a debt from a payday loan or a credit card. They may say, you didn't pay your credit card. That's bank fraud, and the FBI is going to get you. The most amazing and ridiculous things. But it scares people, because if you don't have a background with this stuff, you know just enough to be both frightened and to be in disbelief. But if you don't want to have trouble in your life, you just might go ahead and make a payment to them. They take these payments usually through like a MoneyGram or something else where you really wouldn't be able to stop payment on it, and you really have no idea who you're paying. These are fraudsters, and instead of mugging you with a gun in the dark parking lot, they use a telephone to mug you.
So these are usually payments you can't stop, as you said. So when they call you and tell you your child's in jail in another county and don't bother checking anything out, you need to give us a Bitcoin payment, you probably should know there's something wrong with it.
Exactly. And no legitimate debt collector is going to make threats like that. It's actually illegal to threaten that you're going to go to prison or to make any kind of threat that you don't have the legal right to do. Debt collectors have no right to have anybody put in jail because you haven't paid a debt. And a legitimate debt collector understands that it is your legal right. You notice how I tied that in with the name of the show. It is your legal right to demand verification from anyone who's asking money from you for a debt. And you have that right. And as I said, we don't have to give you any information. It's a scam. And the reason why you don't have to worry about that from legitimate debt collectors is because legitimate debt collectors can be sued for a lot of money if they violate these laws. I'm talking about the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and there are similar statutes in many states, including California, and the punishment can be very severe on any debt collector who violates these laws. So in my experience, the legitimate collectors, they'll call you, they make their pitch, and they're not going to make those kind of threats. And if you want verification of it, you don't even remember owing this money, they'll be glad to provide the proof to you. And if the person on that phone gets very threatening and says, we don't have to show you anything, you're going to pay up right now, just laugh at them.
You know, in another life, I actually worked with some of these folks. Before college, and I worked at a savings loan, was actually dealing with people that would collect outstanding debts or would do investigations for us and the like, and I was the liaison to work with these folks. And one of the things that I was very surprised at the time is that the people that were debt collectors and that were successful were generally quite positive. They had a very positive outlook and a love for life, and they brought you around to where you were cooperative rather than calling up and scaring the daylights out of you like some of these callers do.
You're exactly right, Jeff. I talk with a lot of professional debt collectors because they're calling my office. They want to verify representation of a new client. They want to get a bankruptcy case number or some other information about the case. And they're always very nice. They're very cordial. And with the pros, that's the way they roll.
It's easier to squeeze. Well, it's easier to attract more flies with honey than with vinegar, I guess. But what can some of our listeners do if they're getting some of these calls to really make sure they're not turning their blind eye to something that's going to come back and bite them and that
sure.
really find out if it's somebody real or not?
The first thing to do is to say, I want written verification. And if the caller says, we don't have to show you anything, this has already gone to litigation or it's gone to court, it's too late for you to have anything like that, just laugh at them and say, I know you're a crook. Call somebody else. Another thing you can say is you need to send me verification. I will then discuss it with my attorney and get back to you.
Of late, I've received a number of calls from a fairly large bank that's headquartered locally, telling me about my account being in flux, telling me about owing them all sorts of money. And I always thought it was interesting because I'd never had an account with that bank. I've never done business with them. Is this a telltale sign? Are people getting calls and so rattled that they didn't even think, wait a minute, I don't do business with these folks?
Exactly. These scammers rely on the power of coincidence. They call somebody at random and they say, you didn't pay your payday loan from 7 years ago. And, you know, chances maybe are 1 in 10 that they're going to hit somebody who did have a payday loan once and doesn't remember whether they paid it back or not. So that makes them think that the person on the phone, has a legitimate right to collect this. They catch you in a state of confusion. You're not expecting these calls. You're busy doing something else. Maybe you were asleep. They wake you up. You're startled. So they rely on you being confused, and they rely on you being intimidated. And if they think they've got you, they may say, look, you know, this is a $1,200 debt. I can hold this right now and prevent you from being arrested. I need $350 right now.
So when they call me and tell me they have my grandson in jail, obviously the first thing I ask is, oh, my God, is he okay? Let me talk to him. Of course, I don't have any grandchildren, so that call doesn't go on terribly long.
That's true, but I happen to know you have a 19-year-old cat. And if they say, I've got your cat, You want to see your cat again, you better pay this bill. I think you might be worried.
Well,
if
somebody...
the cat is there sitting on your lap or something, then you know.
In my other life, I'm in and out of jail a lot. I've never seen anybody's cat taken to the jail.
Maybe you should tell the good listeners why you've been in and out of jail so much.
Well, for those who don't know, my practice is criminal defense, so I'm visiting folks that I represent quite frequently in the jail.
Yeah, I didn't want anyone to think that this was felony radio.
No, this is your legal right, so you have the right to do a lot of things. We've never advocated you had the right to commit a felony. But while we're talking about what this is, I am Jeff Hayden. You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW-FM 91.7 in San Francisco. Tonight, we're not talking felonies. We're talking debtors' rights. We're talking collection practices, illicit and other ones. We're talking bankruptcy, consumer bankruptcy, with Leon Baer. Leon Baer is a certified bankruptcy law specialist certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. If you have questions for my guest, our phone number to us right here in the studio is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're calling from outside of San Francisco, call us toll-free. We pay the freight. No one goes to jail. 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. As always, you can call regarding any question relating to the subject, whether it's collections or debtors' rights or consumer bankruptcy or even some of these crazy calls we get from the IRS or Social Security or anybody else. Feel free to call us. You're not limited to where we may be on the conversation at that very one moment. Again, if you're outside of San Francisco, it's 866-798-8255. So we were talking about some of these crazy debt collectors that are really getting out of control. What else is going on in the news right now in bankruptcy? We've heard about some of the big players like PG&E and the like, but when it comes to the rest of us, what things are new in coming up this year?
Sure. Senator Elizabeth Warren has proposed legislation to allow student loans to be discharged in bankruptcy. I have not seen a draft yet of the legislation. I'd be surprised if it passes. The student loan industry is extremely powerful and has a lot of friends in Congress because they make a lot of big campaign donations. So I don't see student loans easing up under a bankruptcy discharge. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Aren't most student loans government-backed anyway?
Yeah, but the legislation would allow the discharge of student loans, whether they're private or government. In fact, it used to be that way. Under the Bankruptcy Act adopted in 1979, student loans, including government loans, were dischargeable in bankruptcy, provided they had been in a repayable status for a total of 5 years prior to the bankruptcy filing.
And what happened? How did that change?
It changed in about 1984 when Congress toughened it up and said, okay, you can't get rid of these student loans unless they've been in repayment for 7 years. Okay. Life went on. That wasn't so bad. And then came something called the Omnibus Crime Bill, which was signed into law by President Clinton, which had a provision snuck into the Omnibus Crime Bill saying you couldn't discharge student loans under any circumstances unless you prove the most difficult to prove kinds of criteria. Essentially, it said you had to prove in court that the repayment of the loan would be an undue hardship on you or any of your dependents, and the courts interpreted the terminology undue hardship to mean something that's almost impossible for most people to prove, and that is, in most of those cases, that you're totally and permanently disabled and unable to engage in a meaningful livelihood. And for someone who is not completely disabled but not able to make much money, it presents an impossible standard. So effectively, there is virtually no bankruptcy relief currently for student loans unless you have an appetite for engaging in complex and expensive litigation. It certainly is not a do-it-yourselfer. If you hope to represent yourself in one of these cases, you know, good luck to you. Most lawyers, most bankruptcy lawyers won't even touch these cases. I've handled a number of them successfully, I'll point out, but they are very hard, and they quickly become a labor of love because the clients run out of money, and as a lawyer representing someone who has such serious problems, you don't want to just drop the case. So you see it through, and you take a loss on it, and you do some good for somebody. But very few of these cases ever actually get in front of a judge because the government lawyers and the lawyers representing private banks that make student loans, they fight these very aggressively.
And
there has been a little bit of loosening up lately, but most people with a student loan will see no relief whatsoever in a bankruptcy case. Now, they can get rid of their credit cards and medical bills, and payday loans, and things like that. That's all still good in a bankruptcy, but student loans, not so much.
You used the two most frightening words around: government lawyers. That makes me wonder about the IRS. What about tax debt? Has that changed any?
It hasn't changed. The treatment of income tax debt under the bankruptcy code is still the same as it was when these laws were enacted in 1979, and that is personal income tax debts are dischargeable in bankruptcy, provided you have filed an honest return at least 2 years prior to the bankruptcy for an income tax that was due at least 3 years prior to the bankruptcy, and there has been no assessment in the last 240 days. There's a few other little particular requirements. If you've been in a prior bankruptcy at any time during those 3 years, the time you spent in the bankruptcy, in the previous bankruptcy, doesn't count towards the elapse of the required 3 years, and there's a few other things. So it's not a do-it-yourselfer. There isn't very much in bankruptcy law, really, that is a do-it-yourselfer. And even if you're going to do it yourself, you ought to get some, at least some professional guidance at some point, particularly before you file the case, because a lot of people file cases and they go into the wrong chapter of bankruptcy. Bankruptcy is kind of like a mechanic's toolbox. There's different tools in it, and we call these the chapters of bankruptcy. And the chapters of bankruptcy are designed to provide bankruptcy remedies that are broadly tailored to different kinds of situations. A corporation or limited liability company that wants to reorganize its debts will file under a Chapter 11. Individuals may also file a Chapter 11 reorganization if they have very complex financial entanglements. Most people who file bankruptcy will file something called a Chapter 7. Chapter 7 bankruptcy is the kind of bankruptcy that just magically makes your credit card bills and your hospital bills and your veterinarian bill, just magically makes those disappear. It's relatively painless. The forms and the papers are a little complicated. Again, you really shouldn't do it without some expert guidance at some point, particularly before you file. And then there's another type of reorganization for individuals called Chapter 13, which is like kind of like the Chapter 11 reorganization, but it is accomplished with very streamlined procedures and rules, so it becomes a whole lot simpler than a Chapter 11 case. Chapter 11s, you've got to deal with the same kind of rules that affected American Airlines when it filed bankruptcy and a lot of other big businesses and corporations. So you've got to deal with the same set of procedures that the big guys have to follow. And that's why if you can do a Chapter 13 bankruptcy to accomplish your reorganization, your chances are going to be a whole lot better, and the case is going to be a whole lot less expensive. The more complicated things get, the more lawyer time it takes to represent the client. And the more lawyer time it takes, obviously, the more expensive it's going to be.
Don't most Chapter 13s eventually turn into Chapter 7s?
A whole lot of them do. There's a reason for that. There's a good reason for that. The typical Chapter 13 is filed by someone whose home is in foreclosure. They may have lost their job, something, had a divorce, something happened, and they've gotten behind on house payments, and a foreclosure sale is going to be coming up. They're about to lose their home. Nobody wants to lose their home, and the filing of a Chapter 13 will create an immediate automatic stay of all actions that a creditor is taking against you, including foreclosure on your mortgage. And many people will file a Chapter 13 case with good intentions. They feel that they're in a position now, they've regained a position where they can start making their house payments again, and the Chapter 13 law can give you up to 5 years to catch up all of your back payments. Well, that is a godsend to somebody who is in financial extremis and has a foreclosure sale coming up. Stop the sale, start making payments again, and pay off the back payments in little bits spread out over 5 years. Unfortunately, you know how we say that some people are just accident prone? Some people are just prone to a cloud of bad luck following them. And somebody who just has trouble keeping a job or is just constantly going through long periods of unemployment, oftentimes the bad luck that has shadowed them in the past comes up again maybe a couple of years into the Chapter 13 case, and they find themselves once again in a position where they can no longer make payments. In a situation like that, the case might be better off converted to a Chapter 7, at least they can discharge the general debts, maybe gain a little bit more time on the house. But there's nothing in Chapter 7 that's going to help you catch up your house payments. And Chapter 7 is not the remedy of choice for someone that has a foreclosure sale and hopes to get back on track with their mortgage lender.
I have two calls backed up. One called in with a question. The other I have on the line. Let me turn it first to Raja in San Francisco. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, I'm calling. I keep getting phone calls from someone that says that I owe them some money, and they've actually even, it's on my credit report.
Okay. If it's on your credit report, that's a pretty strong indication that it's legitimate. I suggest the next time they call you, ask them to send you verification of the debt. When I say verification, I want them to send you evidence that they are entitled to collect this debt and evidence that you actually owe it.
And I've asked them that, and what they do is they'll call from different phone numbers. Sometimes they'll say they're calling from my area, which they aren't, and but they won't send me any information.
That's a pretty strong indicator that it is a scam. But you say it's on your credit report, and that makes me guess that you may be confusing what you see on your credit report with the people that are calling you on the phone.
No, I'm not confusing it. I know the amount that, and I'm not confusing it.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering how can I handle, because then they'll call me and say, well, you know, this, and the person will call me using different names saying that I just got this file on my desk, and if
right.
you don't
got,
call
got
me
got
back, I'm going to send the police to your house or to your job.
Okay, I've got two suggestions for you. Number one, since you are certain that this item is appearing on your credit report, you should dispute the item. So get your credit report, or you've already got it, follow the instructions on how to dispute something that you think is incorrect or untrue, and probably this will just drop off. Secondly, you can also go to a lawyer, and for a very modest expense, hire a lawyer, probably a bankruptcy lawyer would be your best choice, to write them a cease and desist letter. Tell them to go pound sand.
All right.
Because they are in violation of the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. You have the absolute right to demand verification, and it is a violation of the act for them to refuse to provide it.
It's also, Raja, as you had mentioned, they are not permitted to threaten you with jail for not paying them, which is something that really sent my antenna up.
Right, because they said, you know, we'll come to your job, we'll come to your home, we're going to, you know, we're going to dispatch the police to come out. And
okay.
And I mean, it's never happened, but...
Sure. And it won't happen. The police do not act as debt collectors for anybody.
Right.
Heck, you can't even get them to call out when there's a legitimate need for it, right?
You're totally correct.
Yeah.
And this has been going on for quite a while, so I know that they're not coming out. And so whenever they call me, I'm like, yeah, okay, or they'll leave messages. And how they get on my phone is my...
How old is the debt? Rajan, how old is the debt?
Oh, it's about... 5 years old.
Okay. If it's been more than 4 years since you've made a payment on this debt, then it is probably barred by the California statute of limitations. So I suggest you go ahead and dispute this on your credit report and just try and knock it out. And next time they call you, you tell them that you have been advised by an attorney. I'm an attorney. You've been advised by an attorney that this collection of this debt is barred by the statute of limitations, and they should just buzz off. They just say, I'm not going to pay you. Oh, well, we're going to send you to jail or this or that. You say, if you think you can do that, you go right ahead, because they can't do that. You can just laugh at them. I give you permission to laugh at them next time they call.
And, Raja, if you need some assistance, do you have a lawyer right now that can assist you?
No, I don't.
You're calling from San Francisco. In a moment, you'll hear us give out the phone number for the lawyer referral service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. They're one of our sponsors. They can give you a low-cost referral to a bankruptcy lawyer who will spend a half an hour with you for somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 or $35. And then from that point, if you think this is someone that can help you and you want to retain their services, you can. It's between you and them. But at least get someone to look at it and give you some guidance.
Well, I've been to the show for quite a while, but, you know, this time I was driving back. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I need to pull over and talk to this person. So thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
John, thank you for your call. It was a really good question.
Thank you. And if you're going to start driving again, I'll give you the number now before you do. The phone number for the Bar Association of San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service, which we're going to give in about 90 seconds, is 415-989-1616. We'll be repeating that on the air in just a moment.
Right, right. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling tonight. I hope that was of some help. Leon, we're going to be back in just a moment, but I did get a call from another caller that wanted me to ask you a more specific question. I'll give you a couple minutes to think about it, but one of their questions has to do with tax liability. You've gone through a foreclosure. You've wiped out a lot of debt. And the question has to do with the tax liability. What options the person has. I mean, you've obviously walked away from the property in that, whether you either give a deed in lieu or it ultimately goes to foreclosure. But in addition to losing the property, you're walking away from a lot of liability.
Yes.
And
really
to what extent is that taxable?
And I'll be glad to tackle it when you come back from the break.
Thank you. You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM or KALW.org. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you. Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's lawyer referral service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.
And again, I'm Jeff Hayden. You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco. On the phone with me tonight is Leon Bayer, certified bankruptcy law specialist. Tonight, we're talking about debtors' rights, collection practices, whether legitimate or otherwise, and bankruptcy, consumer bankruptcy. If you have questions for my guest, our phone number to us right here in the station, right at the studio, is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're calling from outside of San Francisco, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. And as always, you can call with any question related to consumer rights, debtors' rights, collections, bankruptcy, anything in the field. You're not limited to where we may be in that conversation. Again, if you're outside of San Francisco, 866-798-8255. And Leon, thank you for tolerating us and putting up with us through the break. We talked about the foreclosure issue.
Yeah, that you didn't give me much time to solve this one, but I have an answer for you.
Okay. I know somebody that's anxious to listening.
I'm assuming that the caller's question deals with the forgiveness of forgiveness of mortgage foreclosure debt. And at the height of the Great Recession, Congress passed a Debt Relief Act. Actually, it was called the Debt Relief Act of 2007, which in most cases allowed taxpayers to exclude from tax liability income that would normally be attributed to something like a capital gain. So let me give you a quick example. Let's say you bought your house in 1990, it went up. You bought your house for $200,000, it went up in value a lot, and every few years you would refinance and pull money out so that by the time of the foreclosure sale, you owed $1 million on that house. Well, you've had, at the time of the foreclosure sale, the foreclosure sale is actually a sale of real property in the law, and you would then have experienced an $800,000 gain. Normally, when you have a gain from the sale of an asset, even if it's been sold in foreclosure, you owe income tax on that gain. Well, what happened is Congress passed this Debt Relief Act in 2007, and the effect of it was to provide you the ability to exclude those kinds of gains only from a sale or a foreclosure sale of the property between 2007 and 2016. So the right to do that ended at the end of 2016, but it allowed individuals to exclude up to $1 million of taxable gain and married couples to exclude up to $2 million of taxable gain. In fact, there's an IRS publication on the subject, and Joseph, I think it was Joseph who asked this, if you're listening or someone else has the same issue, you go on the IRS website and look up publication 4681.
Is this limited to your private personal residence, or is income property or investment property included?
I don't know. What do you think of that?
I think it's worth repeating that form
residence.
Number.
I doubt it was for income-producing property, but I don't know the answer to that.
But you did tell us where to look, and again, that was publication number
4681.
And with that, let me turn it over to Jennifer in San Francisco. You're on Your Legal Rights. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Okay, well, so I have a lot of credit card debt.
How much?
A lot of people. Oh, close to maybe,
Jennifer, how much do you owe, roughly?
Like maybe $50,000.
Okay. Would you mind telling us your approximate monthly income?
Well, it was zero for a very long time. And then in the last 4 months, I got a job.
Okay.
I've been underemployed for like 5-6 years.
Roughly how much do you make in an average month right now?
So now about $4,000.
Okie dokie. And what is your question?
After taxes.
Okay.
Which is a tough squeeze in San Francisco. That's not a huge amount.
No, it's not. But it's a lot to me.
I think, didn't I read somewhere, Jeffrey, that an income of $100,000 or less is considered poverty line in San Francisco?
I just read that in the last couple of weeks. It's
And I have to say, having been poor, it's pretty the to be poor and qualify for things, you have to be like $13,000 a year poor.
Yeah.
Which
well,
is
Jennifer,
ridiculous.
What is your question?
My question is, I'm not sure if I should go through bankruptcy, Chapter 7, or I get a lot of things in the mail, and I know a lot of them are fake, saying they're going to give me money to pay it off, and I can pay them and consolidate it into one, you know, amount.
Yeah.
And I don't trust any of them, but I'm wondering if one is, you know, and they always, some say they'll contact the creditors, the credit cards, and lower the amount. No.
Well, I hear the advertisements and see those advertisements on TV, and I hear them on radio constantly. There may be a legitimate company out there that does debt consolidation or debt negotiation for you. There might be a legitimate one, but you know what? In my 39 years of bankruptcy law practice, I've never heard of one of those who is legitimate.
Yeah.
I suggest you stay away from them.
Yeah.
Bankruptcy is almost a God-given remedy for somebody in your situation. Just imagine, you have the legal right. You see, Jeffrey, once again, I've tied it into the name of the show. You have the legal right to be relieved of those credit card debts by filing a bankruptcy case. The court needs to be satisfied of two things. One is that your debts were made under honest, good faith circumstances, and the other is that you really can't afford to make any meaningful payment on them anymore.
Right. Right.
I'm assuming you don't own a home or any valuable assets, no racehorses, motorboats, airplanes.
A very old car that's all beat up.
Okay, a beat-up car. The law is very generous about what you get to keep when you file bankruptcy. And you'd probably be able to keep your car if it was almost brand new.
Well, there you go.
So your old beat-up car is not going to be in any danger. It sounds to me like you are qualified and eligible to be in a bankruptcy case, Chapter 7, discharge those debts.
Yeah.
I don't see the point of going into some kind of a restructuring program, even if you could find an honest one.
Right,
you'll
that's
wind up
what
paying
I
back a ton
heard.
Of money. And you can't afford it.
It's true. It's very true. And I, you know, and I paid my payments, the minimumist. I've struggled and did that. So it's not like I'm in, you know, missed a payment, but it's impossible and I can't keep up.
Well, you know, that's why God invented bankruptcy.
And thank you, God.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do what you got to do. Move on. Survive.
Yeah.
And rebuild. Right. That's what it's all about, rebuilding.
Right. Exactly. And
glad we could help you.
thank you so much. And I listen to your show all the time. And finally, yes, it is answering my problem. So thank you so, so much.
Jennifer, thank you so much. I hope we've been of some help. And thank you for joining us. Send it to me. We're going to let Jennifer go on that one.
Okay.
Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, Jennifer brought up an interesting point. We see these commercials, and they talk about debt consolidation. They talk about working on your behalf. But they tell us this: there's this secret that the credit card companies don't want you to know about not having to pay. So there's this big secret. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, there's no secret. You know, credit card companies don't want you to know that you have the right to pay less than the full amount. Well, you only have that right. Actually, it's not a right. That will happen only with the consent of the creditor. It's got to be done by mutual agreement. And the promoters of these things say, oh, we know all your creditors, and they work with us, and as soon as you're enrolled in our program, they're going to leave you alone. And I get clients every week that have been in one of these programs for 5 or 6 months, and they call a bankruptcy lawyer because they just got served with the lawsuit that wasn't supposed to happen once you enroll in the program. And the program says, well, you better go see a lawyer and do something. We can't help you now. But you've already been paying them for 5 or 6 months. So that's why I say be very wary. I don't think they're legitimate.
So there's no great secret. That we all know that. Be very wary of these ads on TV, whether it's attorneys that have the secrets to everything or whether it's somebody telling you that it's a debt relief. Be wary.
Yeah, because if there was some kind of big secret like that, you think lawyers would ever pay their bills?
Some of us. A listener calls in. Another one did not want to be heard on the air. And said, I'm in way over my head. What's my next move? When do I know it's time to consult an attorney?
Okay. When you have picked up a telephone and you've called a self-help radio program for legal advice with a question, you have a problem. How long do you have to wait to go to a dentist if you have a toothache or you've got horrible pains in your body? You know, when are you going to go to the hospital, the emergency room? You have the problem now, you should go see a bankruptcy lawyer now. It doesn't mean you're really going to actually file bankruptcy, but it means you're going to get, Jeff, your legal rights. Bankruptcy lawyers are able to tell you what to expect, whether or not, like Jennifer, you have a case that is, you know, ripe for filing under Chapter 7 bankruptcy. A bankruptcy lawyer will tell you, like, no, you shouldn't file bankruptcy for this reason or that reason. But it takes a sit-down conversation with an experienced attorney, and you need the legal advice. And guess what? You could probably get it for free. Yeah. Most bankruptcy lawyers do not charge you for a consultation. And they'll give you, you know, they're not going to spend all day with you, but they'll probably give you a free half hour, maybe even an hour if it takes that long to sort out the legal issues of your case. And then you'll find out what you can do about your problem. Don't be afraid about going to a bankruptcy lawyer. We don't stick needles in you. We don't probe you anywhere. We're very dedicated to solving people's problems. And again, you can walk in, you can go see almost any bankruptcy lawyer and get a free consultation. So do some research. Look for attorneys that are highly rated. Look for attorneys that are bar certified bankruptcy specialists. Call a few of them. Ask, do you give a free consultation? If they do, take them up on it.
And one of the things that you have taught me on this show is that your bankruptcy attorneys are knowledgeable not only in filing bankruptcy and knowing which arrow to pull out of that quiver, but also finding alternatives to bankruptcy, which is the next thing I want to talk to you about. What are some of these alternatives to bankruptcy?
There's really three things you can do. Number one, you can just ignore it, which is a very successful strategy until you get hit with a wage garnishment or judgment lien on your home or attachment on your bank account. So ignoring the problem frequently feels like it's being successful, but chances are it'll catch up with you and you're still going to have to do something constructive. So other than filing a bankruptcy, debt negotiation is something that you can do where you negotiate with creditors. Either you do it yourself or you hire a bankruptcy lawyer to do it for you. But don't expect miracles. Most creditors will give you a nice discount in exchange for paying off the debt. But again, don't expect miracles.
But they'd rather get something than to have you in bankruptcy.
Not really. Depending on who the creditor is, you might settle for anywhere from 30%, that's 30 cents on the dollar, to maybe 60 cents, 70 cents on the dollar. But there's a catch. They want cash on the barrelhead. They already had payment arrangements with you once before, and it didn't work out. So they don't want to go back to putting you on easy monthly payments. So when you do a settlement with a creditor, they want cash at the time of the settlement. And most people who are having a financial problem don't have that kind of money. So it's an alternative to bankruptcy, usually for people that do have money, but because of their entangled financial affairs, maybe it would not be a good idea for them to go into a bankruptcy case. Another thing you can do is hire an attorney to send a cease and desist letter to the client, making the representation that you have you have retained that lawyer to do your bankruptcy case and ask for all communications to be directed only to the attorney. That can be successful in certain cases, but it still doesn't stop a creditor from pursuing you. They're still entitled to serve you with a lawsuit, take you to court, get a judgment, enforce the judgment. And finally, you know, creditors, they don't really want to, they're not desperate to get just something. If they gave in that easy, everybody would call up their creditors and say, oh, I'm having such a hard time. You know, I'm drowning here, you know. Take a few pennies on the dollar and leave me alone. If that worked, everybody would do it. Debts would never get paid. So creditors view that as economic terrorism. They don't give in to threats like that. You know, just like the government doesn't, at least it says, it doesn't pay ransoms to terrorists who kidnap an American diplomat. We're not going to pay ransom to terrorists. Okay. Well, debt collectors view it the same way. They're not going to give in to that because if they did, everybody would do it. And in the long run, they would collect much less money.
I'm going to announce us one more time. You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco. And tonight we're talking debtors' rights, collection practices, bankruptcy, with Leon Baer, certified bankruptcy law specialist through the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. If you have questions for my guest, our phone number in the studio is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, that's 866-798-8255. We have just a few minutes left for you to call. As always, you can call regarding any question regarding debtors' rights or debt, even consumer bankruptcy, collections. You're not limited to where we may be in our conversation. If you're outside of San Francisco, that's 866-798-8255. And now the phones are lighting up. While these calls are working their way through to us, Jennifer alluded to debt consolidation. Can you sum up quickly just what is debt consolidation and when's it a good idea?
Debt consolidation is a very vague term, and basically you will hire a company to negotiate for you where you make one payment every month to the company and they'll divide it up amongst your creditors. But it really doesn't work well because the creditors, they don't sit back patiently waiting for the money to come in the first place. The companies that do these kinds of programs charge very high fees. They charge two or three times as much as what a bankruptcy case is going to cost you. They rely on the goodwill of your creditors. Do your creditors really have any goodwill and desire to work with you? Not really. They want their money now.
And, of course, if you have the assets or the good credit to change that credit card debt or whatever it may be into longer-term debt, you probably wouldn't need to be calling one of these places.
Well, exactly right. And
let me turn it over.
When you go into those programs, it doesn't save your credit. Your credit gets trashed. It gets trashed because you're not paying what you're supposed to pay at the time it's due. That's the only way to preserve credit. So going into a credit program is just a hoax in almost all cases.
Let me turn it over to Josh in Santa Clara. Welcome. You're on Your Legal Rights.
Hey, thank you. So I got a slew of questions here, and I kind of caught your show at the tail end. So, for one, if somebody has medical debt, their doctor's bill they couldn't pay, I understand that, you know, once upon a time it was 7 years before, or some amount of time of years before basically a creditor just wouldn't be coming after you anymore because it's kind of like the time would just pass up. In fact, I remember when I had a credit check done, they said, you know, well, this is going to be pretty soon. This is going to expire. So, you know,
okay,
next year your credit will
be fine. There's two different things. I don't mean to cut you off, but because we're running out of time and we've got a few more calls to do. So I'm going to get right to the point. You've got two different things going on. One is, how long can this unpaid debt appear on your credit report? It can stay on your credit report for 7 years.
Okay. Yeah.
However, once the debt is more than 4 years without payment, you have protection under the California Statute of Limitations. The Statute of Limitations provides that a debt collector or anyone else can't sue you to recover a debt after a certain amount of time has gone by.
And that's not 4 years from the time of the debt. That's 4 years since the last payment?
That's right.
Oh, I see. Okay, because I just wanted to jump in and say that
really 4 years from the date that the debt last was delinquent. So if you were making payments for a while, you made payments sporadically, well, whenever the next succeeding payment was due and you didn't pay it, that's when the time period starts.
How long should I keep documentation of past debt that I've had? How long should I keep documentation if I have, you know, and I'm going through my paperwork? When can I just throw it away, even if I paid it or not?
Well, I don't have really any opinion on that. I would certainly keep it more than 4 years.
Okay.
Josh, if in doubt, you can always scan it.
That's right.
That's a good point. Thank you. Did George W. Bush make any changes for debtors, for people that are in debt?
There was a major overhaul of the bankruptcy laws that took effect in 2005. Which made it harder to file bankruptcy, and it made it a whole lot more work to file bankruptcy. And the idea behind that was they can push down the numbers of people that are filing bankruptcy by just making it harder to do.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your help.
And I will tell you, it wasn't just George Bush, although he was president and he signed that act into law. That law was passed overwhelmingly with support of both Republicans and Democrats.
Oh, well, God bless America.
Trying to save the banks 4 years before many of the big ones went bust. Josh, thank you for joining us. Let me turn it over to Monica and San Leandro. We have about a minute.
Great. Thanks, folks. Quick question, I hope. A girlfriend of mine has two speeding tickets. Just in, I believe, Alameda County, and they're from years ago, and she ignored them, and they've ballooned into $1,000, just over $1,000, between the two of them. that some collection agency is now trying to get. And I'm trying to encourage her to work on these. Any words of advice that I could tell her? I heard you mentioning before, you know, maybe a place will take 30 or 60 or 70 cents on the dollar, but can
these
you help
guys,
me?
These guys are not going to do that.
Okay.
There's no statute of limitations for collection on such debts. My advice to you, don't worry about her. She obviously doesn't worry about herself. Why should you?
Monica,
well,
if you
she
can...
she is now. It's a different time in her life.
Monica, we're out of time, but I'd like you to stay on the line, and I will talk with you when the show's over. So if you can stay with us 3 or 4 minutes, I will circle back to you. I have some ideas that'll be helpful for you, separate and apart from bankruptcy. Thank you for joining us. And, Leon, you have about less than a minute if you want to sum up.
Yeah. When you have any kind of worries or troubles with debts, talk to a bankruptcy lawyer. Like I said a little while ago, most bankruptcy lawyers are not going to charge for consultation, and going to see a lawyer doesn't mean you are going to file bankruptcy. It just means you're finding out information, and you'll make your own decision. I mean, I'm sure that there may be a few lawyers out there that try and do a sales job. So if you don't like the tone of the consultation, just get up and leave. Go to somebody else. But there's no reason to suffer with the unknown. Don't allow a debt problem to remain a big unknown in your life. The problem usually only gets worse, and it very rarely is resolved on its own by ignoring it.
Best advice of the night. You've been listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW FM 91.7 in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden. My guest tonight has been Leon Baer, certified bankruptcy law specialist, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization, State Bar of California. Leon practices out of Los Angeles, California. And Leon, thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you again for having me, Jeff. It's a pleasure.
And I'd be remiss if not telling you there's a few interesting shows in the queue. What do we do with those who, because of mental illness, can't take care of themselves any longer? 3 weeks out, we talk conservatorship. 2 weeks from now, we're talking about immigration and criminal convictions. How can you fix your records to avoid that immigration problem? And next week, we'll be talking elder financial abuse, how to protect yourself, how to protect your loved ones. And next week, we'll be back with our Call a Lawyer night. Again, thank you to Leon Baer for joining us. And our thanks to you for listening, and to our production assistant, Martin McLean, and at the controls for the vocationing, Joanne Marr, my friend Debbie Kennedy. I'm Jeff Hayden. You've been listening to Your Legal Rights. Thank you, and have a good night.
Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information. Thank you.